You are listening to Legion of Substitute Podcasters, episode 320. Whatever happened to the man of tomorrow? Welcome to episode 320 of Legion of Substitute Podcasters. Today I am technical support kid.
Oh?
Well, I'm waiting.
You don't sound Indian.
Oh, damn.
Let's start off with a bang, shall we?
Yeah. Well, and all of a sudden there's going to be all these downloads that just stop from out east.
No, they're not. They're not going to stop.
Nah, they're all bots anyway. Exactly. No, so anyway, mainly because I have a ticket in to Comixology because Ella and I have been reading the Batman 66 and the Green Hornet title. Mm-hmm. And she's loving it. And because, you know, they've been watching the Batman series now and quite enjoying it. And so having a comic in the style of it works out well. So we've been reading it, and so I ordered issue 5 last night. And when we went to read it tonight, it just showed as purchasing.
Like it's stuck in limbo somewhere.
It is stuck in purchasing limbo. Mm. So I sent them a ticket for it. Of course, I understand sometimes stuff happens. They'll get it to me eventually. They'll get it resolved. It'll be no problem. However,
Ella doesn't understand.
She does not understand this. No. But I want to read it now. So here's the but it gets worse.
Of course it does. It always does.
It gets worse because then
we're
looking at the page of stuff on Comixology, and I'd gone through and, you know, downloaded some of the free books because they all often have a bunch of stuff free, and I'll often download a bunch of them. And one of the ones she saw was the Superman Wedding Album. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, it has not aged well.
No, I bet it hasn't.
It has not aged well at all. And so we went through it, and I was, you know, skipping entire chunks of dialogue because it's just like, none of this is going to mean anything to you anyway, kid. And yeah. And you know, really what she wants to see is Superman taking on bad guys. And we get a good 20 pages in before we see a red S. That's on Bibbo.
Oh, wow.
Cuz remember this was post Final Night, so Superman was depowered at this time.
Oh, that's right, he was, cuz the sun had gone out.
That's right. So however, there were some little victories in this because out of the mouths of babes, she's like, "Daddy, what's with Superman's hair?" Because this was, of course, the last vestiges of mullet Superman, and so the super mullet was in evidence for at least the first half of the book.
Wow.
Mm. Then there was the, why is that person looking at us? Instead of looking, like, you know, she was noting that they weren't looking at what was going on in the panel. And it's like, oh, that's because that's Jeanette Kahn, and they've drawn her into the story, and they need to draw our eye to it. Look. Yeah. Yeah.
Look, it's you.
Yeah. And, and not only that, but then there's also the fact that, and I get that part of it was they wanted to have the entire current Superman art team, and, you know, everyone I think pitched in on the scripting, and then they had, you know, the artist changed every few pages. It's fine. You know, it's fine when you get something like Legion 300 where there were actual defined reasons for those changes. And, you know, it was to make it in the style of the era that they were visiting and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. In this case, it's just, you know, arbitrarily changes every couple of pages. And
that can be annoying.
Well, yeah. And and she points out to me, she's like, "Daddy, who's that?" And I said, "That's Lois Lane." It's like, "Well, why is her hair longer?" Mm. I said, "It's a good question." And, you know, she's noticing all these little details that sometimes we kind of let slip by us. But mm-hmm. but let me tell you, like, reading that book, TDS.
Yeah, I don't doubt it.
It was a rough read. It was a rough read. We got as far, we were coming up to the ceremony, and then it was just like, okay, I'll save that for tomorrow, because then we can just go through that part of it, which I think she's going to find incredibly boring. And I don't know that she was that into the book until Batman showed up, which says a lot there. You know, because there was really no action, because Superman couldn't handle the action, of course, because no powers. And yeah. And it was when it was when powers, yeah, it was when Batman showed up that that stuff got solved.
I'm Batman.
Mm-hmm. That is right when she said, "Daddy, can you do different voices for all the characters?" Now? And so anyway, the based on that alone, I don't understand why anyone's upset about the whole Lois Clark thing being invalidated, because it meant that we had to put up with that issue, which made the episode of the show look like Citizen Kane. True. So,
Well, you know, I mean, at least, you know, Lois did make a deal with the demon and then march off into the ether somewhere else.
Damn.
So, you know,
although I hear that's been reversed, but I don't know.
Shocking. Really? Has it?
I don't care enough to know.
I don't either. I'm sorry. I don't care.
So anyway,
I like Spider-Man more as a tortured teenager character than I do as a tortured newlywed.
Yep. So. Yep. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So there we go. Over to you, sir.
And me. Well, I am Darren Noel, and I am a finishing kid because I have finished a whole bunch of stuff this weekend. A lot of personal family stuff had to get done. And then I am finishing up classes and getting ready for finals. So that's me. And then, I have been drinking since I got home tonight around 5 o'clock. We were recording this around 10. So, yeah. There you go.
Someone's going to be editing tonight.
Yeah, probably you.
Well, yeah, most likely. Most likely.
No, it's not that bad. It's just it's been a long,
indeed,
long Thanksgiving weekend. I went down to Florida and had a good time with my friends, and it was great. And came back on the day that apparently Orlando had the most rain it's had without a hurricane present in its history. Mm-hmm. And we went to a bagel shop.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to like walk up like 4 steps to get up to the bagel shop. We ordered and we sat down. By the time we sat down, the water had reached the door.
Oh,
and there were cars that were stalled out. Trash cans were floating down the new river that was called a street a moment ago. It was pretty intense.
Wow. Like,
do we have to sandbag the bagel shop? So, yeah. And then got home to Ferguson protest, which is so much fun downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And managed to get home without any problems, which was nice. And then Thanksgiving Day family stuff started. So, yeah. Good times. Good times had by all. And, let's move on. There's
absolutely
no Legion news, is there, Polly?
No. Gosh, no.
I didn't think so.
Gosh, no. But that's okay, because we are taking a look at...
a classic.
It is indeed. This, of course, we had sat down and we're all set to start with Legends number one.
Mm-hmm.
And we realized there's an important transition post-crisis.
At least for Legion fans.
Yeah, remember last week when we talked about how there was a lot of stuff when the history of the DC Universe came out. By the time it was released, a lot of the stuff had changed
already.
Especially when they were talking about hey, here's a series that's going to come up, kind of thing. When they went on their little series pitch thing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there was a lot of that kind of stuff. But this acts as a very nice transition for us. Sort of brings the story of the Silver Age, Bronze Age, pre-crisis Superman to a very heroic end. And we thought this one would be a lot of fun to do. The story is written by some guy named Alan Moore.
You may have heard of him.
Yeah. And in a true art transition, because of course George Perez was doing
everything.
Yeah, well, and was
and at this point he was doing Wonder Woman.
Yeah, had done Crisis, was going to start on Wonder Woman, because Wonder Woman started after Man of Steel.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and so he was going to be starting on that, but he was also doing covers on Superman. Was it Superman? No, Adventures of Superman.
Adventures of Superman, I think.
I don't remember. Yeah, there were four Byrne was doing Superman. Titles. Right. So you had Superman.
Action Comics, which was the team-up book. Adventures of Superman. And then what was Man of Steel?
Yeah, that was much later. One? That was much later.
Though. Oh, much later, yeah.
Yeah, because there was and there's where it gets confusing. Because there was, of course, Man of Steel, the 6-issue miniseries in which John Byrne introduced the revamped Superman.
Yes.
Which led directly into Superman 1. And he, of course, did the art and writing on Superman and on Action Comics for the first little while. And meanwhile, Marv Wolfman, a name we should all be familiar with after what we've done over the last several months, and Jerry Ordway were doing Adventures of Superman.
Yeah.
And I know I'm trying to remember which ones, because I know Perez was doing some covers, because he did that one cover that was a takeoff of the original Superman 1 cover. One of those oft imitated covers. Uh-huh. And anyway, so he in this inks Kurt Swan's pencils, and so it's really quite neat. And we have Todd Klein doing the letters, Gene D'Angelo coloring, and the editor, some guy named Julius Schwartz.
Ah, Julie.
Yeah.
Love you, Julie, wherever you are.
So this was kind of set out to act as a fitting end, rather than just, you know, okay, that guy doesn't exist anymore, move on, which is the way it was for a lot of characters.
Yeah.
In this case, Superman.
A lot of characters didn't get the goodbye. They got the kiss off.
Most did not. Absolutely. You know, they got their new start. Sorry, their bold new
direction.
Take a drink.
See, I kind of consider Brave and Bold number 200, which was the Batman and Batman team up.
Oh, yes.
Even though it was a long time before, well, not a long time before Crisis, but quite a few years before Crisis.
I kind of
consider that the Batman goodbye in a way, because it was all classic Bat action. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then this became Superman's goodbye. And then I think everybody else didn't get a goodbye. Although Wonder Woman had that 4-issue miniseries about the Golden Age of Wonder Woman, which is very classic. I think Trina Robbins did that.
Yeah, it was very golden agey.
Was
Busiek involved stylized. In that? Like, did he
maybe
write, he might have written. I think he might have written it. And
it was very golden agey. We'll post it in the notes on Facebook. I'm sure.
Yeah.
When we get there, but everybody else, pretty much on your own, kids. Sorry, is what it is. So. We ain't got time to publish all these goodbyes. We got to move on to the bold new direction. Take another drink.
All right. So
I'm ahead of you. So catch
indeed,
up.
Indeed. Well, we start off, and the cover bears some discussion because
we've seen this before.
Yeah, it's a takeoff of that Adventure 300 cover, really.
Mm-hmm. With all the different Legionnaires in their convenient boxes.
Yeah. So in this, it's. See the rampage of Bizarro. Experience the return of the fearsome funsters. Witness the killing of Clark Kent. Yeah. Meet the new Brainiac Luthor team. Oh, that goes well. Yeah. Survive the Daily Planet's last stand. And attend the Legion of Superheroes' last salute.
So there's a Legion tie-in here. Yay!
Yes, indeed. And there's a big statue of Superman. Statue?
Yep, take a drink. Take a drink.
We're not even past the cover, dude.
No, we're not.
What's really
buckle up, kids? It's going to be a long day.
Yeah, this cover is actually done by the team of Kurt Swan and Murphy Anderson, aka Swanderson.
Swanderson,
and they of course did a whole bunch of Superman work.
Back in the day.
Exactly. So again, these are some of the little elements that lead to the.
And this is the last issue of Superman.
Yes, that's right.
Let's remember that, because they were canceling this book to come out with a new number one. And fans went, no!
And a bold new direction.
A bold new direction. Take a drink. Yeah.
All right. So we start off, which says this is an imaginary story.
Yeah.
And we'll get to my favorite line in a minute. Mm-hmm. This is an imaginary story, which may never happen, but then again may, about a perfect man who came from the sky and did only good. It tells of his twilight when the great battles were over and the great miracles long since performed, of how his enemies conspired against him, and of that final war in the snowblind waste beneath the northern lights, of the women he loved and of the choice he made between them. Of how he broke his most sacred oath. But that never happens.
That never happens.
When it does.
Not on film, at least.
No. And how finally all the things he had were taken from him, save for one.
Oh.
It ends with a wink. It begins, just like the old cartoons used to.
Uh-huh.
And of course, the George Reeves series. Uh-huh. It begins in a quiet Midwestern town one summer afternoon in the quiet Midwestern future. Away in the big city, people still sometimes glance up hopefully from the sidewalks, glimpsing a distant speck in the sky. But no, it's only a bird, only a plane. Superman died 10 years ago. This is an imaginary story. Aren't they all?
Aren't they all?
Love that.
I love that line.
That.
So you know, it's like, yeah, this isn't canon. Chill out.
Yeah, exactly.
I love the jogger there working the Lyle Norg orange with the headband there. That's kind of funny to me.
Oh yeah.
It's not quite his outfit, but it's close enough to remind me of him, so it's like, okay.
Absolutely. Well, and I tend to think that, you know, little is going to be of you know, let's not let anything sort of go as being just there, cuz,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, like I think everything is there with some
sort some of kind of reason, yeah,
yeah. For example, on the next page, there's a cling clang on the Elliot,
the doorbell, I guess.
Yeah, the doorbell, which I think is a tribute to Elliot S. Magan.
Yeah, it could be.
Why not?
I don't know.
Yeah. See, because again, it's one of those names that was associated a lot with Superman back in the day. And, mm-hmm. You know, and he of course wrote the novelization of the movie that wasn't a novelization of the movie.
True.
And, but if you can find it, it's so cool. Such a good story. And gets into all the, you know, covers all the Superboy stuff. Like it's like a real Superman story.
Mm-hmm.
And so this guy comes to the door, and his name is Tim Crane from the planet. Now I think that the Tim Crane I have found was probably a bit young to for this to be him. There is a philosopher born in 1962 who works mostly on philosophy of mind and metaphysics.
Mm.
And that's the part that makes me think, I don't know.
It, you know what? It's Alan Moore. So could be something, could be nothing. It probably is something, but eh.
None of this guy's publishing was before 1995, though. So I don't think it is, but it's just interesting.
Was he in England?
Yeah.
Well, he may have been a friend of Alan Moore. Who knows?
For all we know, yeah. Interesting. At any rate, so he wants to do an interview with the former Lois Lane, who is of course Mrs. Lois Elliott now.
And look at what Lois is wearing here. I mean, she's wearing a practically backless blouse in the house.
Yeah,
and I'm like, sweetie,
check out that gold necklace.
I know, right? She is like milfing it here.
She's like a hot June Cleaver.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
So she says, sure, my husband's out at work and the baby's asleep, so we won't be disturbed. Will this room be okay? And he says, fine. Just let me set up my recorder.
Yay, recording.
So he tests, and it is August 16th, 1997.
That makes you feel old, won't it?
In the far-flung future.
Mm-hmm.
And
anyone feeling old yet?
Yeah. He says, okay, testing. August 16, 1997. Tim Crane interviewing Lois Elliott for the Daily Planet lead feature. Title, The Last Days of Superman.
Oh, joy. That can't sound good.
So he says that he's kind of nervous interviewing her because she's kind of a legend around the planet.
Oh, you think?
And he says, I'm probably doing this all wrong. She goes, you're doing fine. And it's Lois. And he says, right. Well, I suppose you should start asking about the years leading up to Superman's disappearance and presumed death. Were those happy times? And she says, I don't know, mixture of things. But at least they were quiet. And we see the baby in the foreground here.
In the incubator. I guess this is a future crib scenario.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. The future cribs have lids.
Yeah, they have lids and little air holes for babies to breathe out of.
Yes. They're like little terrariums, little baby terrariums. So she says that Luthor seemed to be lying low and Brainiac's last organic metal body had been pounded into a state beyond repair. And it seemed that Superman had recovered every fragment of that body except for the creature's head.
Oh, that's a problem, kids. Mm.
Parasite and Terra Man had destroyed each other. There was sort of a lethal clash of egos, and it seemed there was no one left to fight. So Superman was basically doing research for the government, working in space. Mm. And so while he was still out in space, returning from such a mission, they got their first taste of the carnage that was to follow. So he flies back down, and there's a big fire going on, and they're glad he's back. Jimmy says that he tried his signal watch, but he guessed it was out of range. He said, this destruction, what caused it? Was it a bomb? No, it was Bizarro.
Oh.
And he says, Bizarro? And Lois says, yeah, he was berserk, smashing things, hurting people, pushing over buildings, and he kept laughing. And then he went into a department store, and Superman said, okay, I'm here now. I'll handle it. And so he goes in, and he looks for Bizarro, and he says, I want an explanation for this. And he says, it's part of Genius Bizarro self-improvement plan. We suddenly realize me am not perfect imperfect duplicate. Maybe me not trying hard enough. So for example, when your planet Krypton blow up by accident, you am coming to Earth as baby. Me decide to blow up whole Bizarro world on purpose and come to Earth as adult.
Ah, well, that's the first little bit of Superman Silver Age that's now gone forever.
Yeah, indeed, indeed. He says, the Bizarro world blown up? And he goes, that right. Pretty imperfect, huh? I think that's kind of some unique conceptual thinking that that Bizarro has managed. And he said, what happened to you? I can't believe you really destroyed your home world. And this is kind of an interesting sort of look at sort of the way comics were becoming, right? Because Bizarro used to be just a goofy thing. Like we used to get tales of the Bizarro world. I mean, he was harmless. He was, you know, he was misguided.
But he was like Mixleplick or Batmite in a way.
Mostly harmless.
He was just there to cause
mischief,
you know, mischief for Superman to fix.
Non-destructive mischief.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that changed.
And exactly. And that was the way the comic industry was changing. You know, they can't be that way anymore now. They like kill stuff. So again, people who are like, oh, they just started doing that with the New 52. No, they started doing that a long time ago. So anyway, he takes the blue kryptonite and in an interesting bit of foreshadowing, uses it on himself, and he goes, everything him go dark. Hello, Superman. Hello. And away he goes. After years of harmless stupidity, that strange backward creature had suddenly launched himself on a rampage of genocide, homicide, and finally, suicide. Still, after what came next, Bizarro's death seemed trivial. And he says, you're talking about the unmasking?
And that sounds like a code for, like, the day. The day would be remembered as the day Superman was unmasked.
Exactly.
Which is kind of an amusing term since he doesn't wear a mask.
Indeed. Indeed. So there's a delivery for Mr. Kent, and they're at the in the newsroom at WGBS, which is where Superman worked at the time. Mm-hmm. And he says, delivery for Mr. Kent, and it's a huge box, and with a smaller box as well. And he says, I'm Clark Kent. What is this? He says, two parcels delivered outside just now. The big one's really heavy. And Lana says, Clark, we're on the air in 3 minutes. And he goes, that's okay. It'll just take a second. That's odd. It's a lot of little Superman action figures. She says, oh, I've seen those around. They're great. See, you just press their legs together and a big heat vision blast comes out and hits the big box. And she's like, Clark, it's moving. They're all moving. And they all these little tiny Superman robots go nuts with their heat vision all over the place, burning stuff, cracking desks. And finally, a couple of them turn on Clark. And they're like, oh, no, this is horrible. They're slicing him up. You have to let me help him. And, of course, we cut to Superman standing in a shredded Clark Kent suit.
Yep. While he's holding on to the Superman little action figures there.
Yep. So,
Clark, it was you all these years. Lana Lang just cracks.
Yeah, it was you all the time. And notice what she's wearing.
Purple
and green. Supervillain colors.
Supervillain colors, and very jokery when you see the ha ha in that panel at the same time.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Yeah, a little bit. And then the Superman toys start talking.
Yes, and they say, yeah, that's right, Miss Lang. It was him all the time. He just combed his hair and stuck on his glasses. What a great gag. Oh, come on, we've toyed him enough. And, of course, they recognize the voices. That's right, it's the Toy Man and the Prankster.
Huh.
And he says, how did you know that I was Clark Kent? Oh, here comes trouble.
Yep.
Ah, what a moron. What an imbecile. Why don't you look in the big box and find out? And no fair peeking, it's lead-lined.
Of course it is.
Take a drink.
Mm-hmm.
He says, everyone stand back. If it's a bomb, I'll contain the explosion. He opens it, and of course, a hand springs out. And we realize that it is Pete Ross's body.
Yep. The honorary engineer Pete Ross has now been killed.
Exactly. And, you know, it's interesting when I say
it.
When
it was a Pete in a box, really.
Yes, exactly. When Elle and I were reading the wedding issue tonight, at one point Pete came in and I was like, oh, and of course he knows Superman's identity. He's like, no, wait, he didn't know it this time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it took me a minute on that. But yes, yeah, so they said, we plan to work through your friends, starting with the furthest away, but we hit pay dirt the first time. After they used a little buffo brainwashing on him to get Superman's secret identity.
Mm-hmm.
And so Superman says, let me ask you one question. Do you know what radio waves look like? And they say, huh? No, why? And then he bursts through the wall in their secret headquarters and says, because I do.
Yeah!
They gave in almost immediately and didn't seem to be able to tell him why they'd suddenly decided to start murdering his friends. And when he asked, they just looked dazed and confused. And of course, it didn't matter because Pete Ross was still dead and Clark Kent was dead publicly too, revealed. Really. And so Clark Kent was over. There was no need to have a secret identity. So he dropped it. So they went to Pete's funeral and Superman mentions, you know, like you do at the, at a funeral. He said, I have bad feelings. Bizarro, the Prankster, the Toyman, they were all just nuisances before. What turned them into killers? What did indeed?
Mm-hmm. Alan Moore.
Yeah, well, yeah. all these years, my greatest nightmare has been that someone would strike at me through my friends. Now it's coming true. And I said, listen, Bizarro's dead. Perry says, listen, Bizarro's dead. The others are behind bars. What's to worry about? He says, well, if the nuisances from my past are coming back as killers, what happens when the killers come back?
And that is a valid point.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, who was he talking about? Luthor, Brainiac? Luthor and
Brainiac.
Yeah. And so Tim Crane says, but I thought Brainiac had been destroyed. And Lois says, so did we. And so we see Lex Luthor in a scene that looks like something out of Superman 2.
Mm-hmm.
Trundling through the Arctic and with a metal detector of some sort, and he finds that missing head of Brainiac.
Yep.
He says, I found it. And he says, there you are. To be frank, I've seen you looking better. Not that I'm complaining. I've always wanted to open you up and study that alien technology. Now that you're dead, I'm saved the embarrassment of asking. And besides, I think you'd have wanted it that way. And one of the eyes hums to life.
Yep.
Says, I mean, back when you were green with a head full of light bulbs, you were always such a great, we were always such great buddies. Remember the Brainiac Luthor team? We were, and the, and the little tent, the little, scales.
Little, like, yeah, the hexagons on his head are.
Break out into Brainiac dreads. And then they start making their way up, Lex's arms and onto his head. And, these two little hand looking things sproaring into his temples, and mm-hmm. they say, "Greetings, Lex Luthor. Your body, mind, and vocal cords all now belong to me.
Me.
I welcome you to the new Brainiac Luthor team."
Nice.
Yeah.
I think this is one of the things that Justice League did really well in the animated series when they did the Luthor Brainiac team up.
Mm-hmm.
They really did a good job of making it reminiscent of this whole Silver Age with a dark bent to it, for sure.
Oh, absolutely. So he's pleased by, with, you know, how Luthor's brain is, you know, by human standards.
Mm-hmm.
Says, the Kryptonian has interrupted my programs and caused me indignity. I shall tolerate him no longer. Now raise my faceplate to your head. And he puts it on there and... And says,
he looks like a really bizarre Conan the Barbarian
character. Yeah, exactly. And he says, my ship was destroyed by the Superman. Our first priority is to construct a replacement. The materials will only be found in populated areas. Take one step forward. I feel you resisting me. It's useless. I repeat myself. Take one step forward. Very good. Now another step. And another. And another.
And another. And another. And another. Yeah, things aren't going well for Luthor.
No. So, anyway, so meanwhile, back in Metropolis, they still had their own problems. A couple of days after Pete's funeral, the day when Superman lost a planet for the second time in his life. So they were working in the office, and the air conditioning was on the fritz, and the sidewalks outside were hot, thronging with people.
Mm-hmm.
Certain members of the crowd suddenly stop dead and look upwards, as if some unseen communication had passed between them. And
and the prostitute is dressed in supervillain colors as well.
Yes, yes, she is.
And she looks kind of like Maxima.
She does a bit, doesn't she? Yeah.
Who would come after in the Burn era, really.
That's right, yeah. So she says, hey, honey, you look kind of hot and bothered. You could look, could you use a date? Come on, what's to lose? For $20, I could break your heart. And he says, I doubt it. Pulls open his shirt to reveal a chest plate. And a big grappling hook comes out of it. And other people are revealing similar outfits. It's like they're manhunters or something.
No man escapes the manhunters.
Yeah, and again, foreshadowing. By the time we heard the screams from the street, the nightmare was already underway. And so now they've got these green, goofy green masks on. And
it's an army of metallos.
Yeah, basically. And you know, up come the grappling hooks and Great Caesar's ghost, what's happening? Chief, the building, it's under attack. We're being boarded by metallos. And they say, we're coming, friends of Clark Kent. We're coming to kill you the way Kent killed my brother. Prepare to be massacred, for we have no pity. We have no hearts. Save those made of kryptonite. Mm-hmm. There's too many of them, Jimmy. Just use the watch. And so he presses the button. He goes... I am. You just can't hear it. Nobody can, except for him. And so he knocks down Jimmy and says, out of my way, kid. It's the woman I want to kill most, the alien-loving tramp.
You're a tramp. Just a tramp.
And they grab hold of Lois, and she pulls away from them and falls out the window. And
what happens is, like, I've done this before.
Yeah. What happened next had all this is very reminiscent of the Superman, the movie. But yeah. You've got me. Who's got you? And so Superman gets there and he catches her. The reds and blues ran together. You see, that's how he looked when he flew, like a violet comet.
Mm. And that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, absolutely. Hold on, Lois. I don't know how Metallo converted him, so many humans into creatures like himself, but there's a fast way of containing them. And so he uses his powers to rub the iron rod.
Really?
Yeah, I know.
Really?
So it says rub any iron rod in the same direction for long enough. And you'll align the magnetic poles of the particles, turning it into a magnet. So he does this with the iron rod that holds the Daily Planet sign up.
Ah.
And turns it into a super magnet. Not just a magnet, a super magnet. She said, I remember hoping he hadn't made it strong enough to lift the cars from the street below, but I needn't have worried. He got everything just right, as always.
Yep, Superman knew super science back in the day.
That's right. And he managed to magnetize all of the Metallos out of the Daily Planet, gathered them all up, along with most other metal from the planet offices. He flew the paralyzed cyborgs to the St. Teresa prison complex. I gather most of them were later successfully rehumanized. When he returned, he looked as devastated as the planet offices, insisted on taking all his closest friends to the Fortress of Solitude, where he could defend them if the situation continued to worsen.
Mm-hmm.
He fetched Lana and Perry White's wife, Alice. Alice and Perry were not quite getting on, and she was very confused and scared. I guess we were all tense. Everything had such an air of finality.
And I like how Superman's using his cape to protect them. That was one of his older tricks. Obviously, that's right. He's trying to, like, move them at the speed of light, basically, to the Fortress of Solitude.
Well, at super speed, and even if he wasn't, the cold... Yeah, yep. Exactly.
The wind, yeah.
So they get to the Fortress of Solitude, and they talk about how it's you know, they hadn't been, Lois says she hadn't been there in a while, but it was still the same, big and remote and lonely. It wasn't called the Fortress of Solitude for nothing.
True.
Shortly, another old friend joined us. Crypto had been roaming the stars for years, but now had returned.
Aw, Crypto, good boy.
Why, unless he'd sensed what the rest of us had? Despite our welcoming hugs, his arrival struck an ominous note. I think we all felt we'd got out of the city just in time. And sure enough, we see the Kryptonite kid, I guess the Kryptonite man at the time, you know, making his way through Metropolis saying, where is he? Why doesn't that Cape Coward come out and die like a man? And we see in the background the Brainiac ship.
Mm-hmm.
As his subject identified, reference Kryptonite man. We were not alone in our decision to come here. Superman has apparently fled to his Arctic Circle. The Kryptonite man, while intellectually limited, provides an ideal assassination weapon.
True that.
So they tractor beam him in. And
zoom, zoom, zoom.
Say, even though it was deadly silent in the fortress at the top of the world, if you listen hard, you can almost hear the vultures gathering.
Yep.
So he made them dinner, and then everyone went to bed, showed them to the guest quarters, and looked sad as he led Perry and Alice to separate rooms.
Aw.
And apparently supplied robes for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Well, he was a gentleman. He was always prepared.
Absolutely. Lois says she couldn't sleep, so she knocked on the door of Lana's room, which was right next to hers. Over the years, we'd been rivals, uneasy friends, and finally strangers. That night, none of it mattered. We both loved him and were both scared that he was going to die. And after we put that into words, we both cried and held each other till we fell asleep. As for Superman, I guess he must have seemed restless, too. I mean, we all had trouble getting to sleep, but he didn't need to sleep at all.
Mm-hmm. And isn't this a nice little panel right here?
Yeah, so he's standing in front of the statue of Kara. he says, I'm glad you came back, Crypto. You're a piece of my life, you know that? I don't know, I feel as if all the pieces of my life are finally coming together. And they kneel down in front of the Supergirl statue. And he says, you know what I mean. Animals get those feelings, too, when they know. What's the matter? Is something... And then there's a bright coruscating light, and it's the Legion.
Yay!
Kind of old school Legion, in fact.
Very old school Kurt Swan Legion here.
Mm-hmm. And so this would be... let's see. Well, Invisible Kid's there.
Lightning Lad in his original outfit.
Yeah, so, but with both arms, so.
Yep, both arms.
Yeah.
Brainy, Saturn Girl, and Kaz.
Mm-hmm.
And Supergirl in the back there.
Indeed. So they say, I hope you don't mind us dropping in like this, but we thought you might appreciate the sight of a few friendly faces.
So in this version of the Legion, time is not a place. Time is a time.
Indeed. So she says, hi, Cal. I was visiting the Legion in the 30th century when they announced they were coming back to see you here in the future. Well, haven't you got a hug for your cousin? And he's, of course, it's just such a surprise. And she says, it must be. I bet I'm a grown-up superwoman in this time zone. Yeah.
Heartstrings pulled.
Seriously. Is it cheating if you tell me whether I grew up to be pretty? And he says, you grew up beautiful, Kara. Come on, let's go this way where the light's better.
Away from the memorial statue.
Exactly. And she says, hello, Crypto. Hello, boy. I hope you and Streaky aren't still scrapping all the time. And Brainy says, can I have a word? And he's pissed. Superman is pissed. He says, yeah. Superman, we wanted to present you with this on behalf of Brainiac. What's the meaning of this? You know Supergirl's dead in this era. You're from the future. It's history to you. He says, I'm sorry. She insisted on coming. I realize how distressing it must be. And he says, I doubt it. You talk calmly to us all the while knowing our death dates as ancient history. How can you do it? And he says, you're being unfair. In your past as Superboy, you've seen some of our future. Would you tell us if you knew of some unavoidable doom awaiting us?
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
As Invisible Kid is over there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. He says, no, you're right. Forgive me, Brainiac. I'm just under pressure at the moment. He says, of course. And so he says, now let me give you this on behalf of the Legion. It's the reason we came to this period. And it's Superman holding the Phantom Zone projector, it looks
like. To remind him about his promise to cure Mon-El.
There you go.
Which never happens.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe you could get to that now. Now that you've got all this time on your hands. He says, because our histories mark this date as a special time in your life. Therefore, we came here to meet with you again and salute you. And he says, and pay your last respects. Is that it?
Ooh, bam.
Yeah. And then Supergirl points out an important little thing about temporal physics of the DC universe at the time.
Yep.
She says, cousin, I just thought of something. As the Supergirl of this era, am I away visiting another time period or something? Because I thought you couldn't materialize in an era where you already existed.
Wow. And Brainiac is turned away and is obviously upset.
Yeah.
But this also casts a light on their relationship in that Brainy knew this was going to happen eventually.
Absolutely.
So.
Absolutely. And at some point we'll get to that in the Baxter run.
Yep.
And so he says, right now, Supergirl is in the past. Not a lie.
Not a lie at all.
Yep. So Brainy says, perhaps we'd best return you to our 30th century to prevent any problems should this era's Supergirl return unexpectedly.
Yes. Which she will eventually.
That would be most unexpected.
Most unexpected.
And so she says, well, give me my regards when I return from the past. And Cosmic Boy says, goodbye, Superman. We always miss you.
Mm-hmm.
And
the Ice Queen breaks down
a little bit. Yeah, she says, Brainiac, can we go? My eyes are watering. Must be some 20th century virus.
Mm-hmm.
Lois says, he never told me exactly what happened that night before the siege began, but as soon as I saw him the next morning, I knew something had upset him. He looked funny. He looked as if he'd been crying, and you see him in tears on one of the little benches amongst all his trophies with Crypto just looking up at him.
Man's best friend.
Indeed.
It's true.
So that's part one.
That's part one. Part two is in Action Comics, number 583.
And you take this
one. I'll take this one. And on the cover, we see Superman flying away from the Daily Planet building. And on the cover... I wonder if I can get this to zoom a little more. Yeah, that'll work. We see Batman and Robin, Hawkman, Green Arrow, the nondescript Superman cast, basically. Cosmic Boy, Lex Luthor.
I think if you look here, I think that's Julie Schwartz up front.
Oh, and that's probably Jeanette Kahn.
And so we've probably also got Siegel and Schuster.
Siegel and Schuster. I would believe that. So, Captain Marvel, Lightning Lad, Wonder Woman, who hadn't appeared in this comic in a while. Who is that behind? I see Perry, or is that, that's got to be Perry because Jimmy's over there.
Yeah.
I don't know who's in that blue outfit behind Perry. Looks like the blonde could be Power Girl back there.
The blonde is Saturn Girl.
Is it Saturn Girl?
Yep.
Really? So who's the guy in the blue?
It could be Bouncing Boy.
Yeah, it could be. Flash and Green Lantern. Perry, Lois, Lana, Jimmy Olsen, and nondescript kids playing with Crypto. And everyone says, goodbye, Superman. We will miss you. And this is by Alan Moore, Kurt Swan, and Kurt Schaffenberger.
Ah, yes. Who and was, so of course, the artist of New Adventures of Superboy.
Yep. So we have a break in the interview. Lois is getting Tim some more coffee, asking how dry and how boring the story is. And he's like, no, this is exactly what we need for the Memorial Edition. I'm just checking where we got to. Superman's old enemies have started returning with a vengeance, and he's taking everyone to his fortress for safety, right? Yep, that's right. Me, Lana, Jimmy, Perry, and Alice White, all his friends, we were all, say, is that coffee I smell brewing through here? And it's Mr. Elliot, the husband of Mrs. Lois Elliot. And she's like, ha ha, best darn nose for coffee in the whole of Pittsdale. You'll have to fix it yourself, hon. I'm busy being a celebrity. Tim, this is my husband, Jordan. Jordy, this is Tim Crane from the planet.
Yeah. Now, if in case people are missing the name, Jordan Elliot. Jor.
Yeah.
L.
Jor L. Liet.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And Tim's like, oh, hi. I don't hope you don't mind me interviewing your wife about, well, about her ex. Nah, I can live with it. He weren't nothing special. Us ordinary working slob, son. We're the real heroes. And of course, his Jordan's hair is looking very, very Hal Jordan parallax
here. Yes.
He's got the white temples going on big time.
So at the time, it's looking very Reed Richards.
Yeah, that too. Very Reed Richards. Yeah. And Lois says, now, Jordy, don't you get started in on that. Just fix your coffee, then go and check that Jonathan's still asleep. Obviously a reference to Jonathan Kent.
Yes.
Where had I got to, Tim? You were all up in the Arctic with Superman. That's right. We stood on a balcony and watched as he destroyed the Golden Key. I think that's when we first realized that he was preparing for a siege. The siege of the Fortress of Solitude. Superman's last stand. And, of course, he had the key out there because who could lift it? Well,
that's right.
It's not taking any chances. He's heat visioning that sucker.
Yeah.
I guess we should go back and read the official credits. Just make sure Todd Klein on letters. Gene D'Angelo is the colorist here. And Julie Schwartz is the editor.
Mm-hmm.
Just to finish out the bullpen there. And all that day in the fortress, Perry and Alice kept bickering. Everyone was so tense. We were scared. Something was going to happen. We didn't know what. And even if we had known, we wouldn't have felt any better. And we see Brainiac's ship show up with the Kryptonite Man and the Luthor Brainiac team. Assessment, the Kryptonian has gone to ground. I must consider our next move. What's to consider? I want his hands around his throat. I want to watch him turn green and die. You will do as I command, Kryptonite Man. With Luthor's mind at my disposal, my intellect is supreme. I shall devise a plan covering all eventualities. All eventualities, Brainiac? Even that one? And there's a big yellow light coming at them. Alert, probability of attack 74%.
It's Glinda. 0.2%. It's Glinda the Good Witch.
It is. Oh. And it is a time bubble, and out springs Cosmic King, Lightning Lord, and Saturn Queen, the Legion of Supervillains.
Oh, yeah.
Hold your fire, Luthor. We come as allies to join you in the assured and predestined slaughter of Superman. Well, isn't that convenient? Mm-hmm. Have you forgotten the future, Luthor? Don't you remember the LSV? And Saturn was like, I'm scanning Luthor's mind. It's being dominated by something cold and emotionless. On his head, is that some sort of helmet? Or Lex Luthor is now merely the vessel of Brainiac. Query, what manner of beings are you? And they tell you exactly who I just told you they were. And according to legend, during these days, Superman met his greatest foe in battle and was no more. Certain of victory, we've come to participate.
Yes.
Because they're cowards.
Mm-hmm.
His greatest foe, of course, I shrunk Kandor. I was always his greatest foe. Query, why should I permit you to share my victory? Because we're from the future. We know things. For example, it's said that during Superman's last days, all of Earth's champions flocked to help him. That is logical. This world's other superhumans are certain to interfere. I shall erect an impenetrable force screen immediately. For resisting my will, for destroying my body, for these affronts shall the Kryptonian know the revenge of Brainiac, and none shall help him. And when the fortress's sensors registered Brainiac's force screen, we knew it had begun. The screen took the form of a giant bubble more than 2 miles across. Nothing could get in, nothing could get out. Around noon, the villains began firing on the fortress using weapons from Brainiac's ship. Superman destroyed most of the devices from long range using heat vision, but the force screen generator was too well shielded. During the afternoon, he took Krypto and attempted a frontal assault, but they were driven back by the Kryptonite man. His power seemed to have increased tenfold. They couldn't even get near him. With twilight, other heroes began arriving outside the barrier, those that were his friends and those that were almost his rivals. Those that might have been his lovers, it didn't matter. None of them could penetrate it. And we see outside Batman, Robin, Captain Marvel, Wonder Woman, Superwoman.
Yes.
DC Comics presents.
Speaking of Elliot S. Magan, that was one of his creations, yeah.
And I think I know the guy up there. Is that, I want to say Vartox.
It's Vartox, baby. Vartox.
Yeah.
In perhaps his last appearance
ever.
Until the Palmiotti, Gray, and Connor Power Girl series.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I remember that now.
That's what finally endeared that series to me was they brought freaking Vartox back.
Like looking through Who's Who drunk at a bar.
Seriously.
I was like, we're bringing Vartox back. I don't know. I'm just guessing. That's what I do. I don't know. I met Jimmy Palmiotti. He actually seems like a swell guy.
They all seem pretty awesome. So
they do. Yeah. They do. I've not met Gray yet, so I can't speak. So, yeah. As night fell, it seemed that a standoff had been declared, and there was a lull in the battle. Lull. We all knew it wouldn't last long. This is the Helm's Deep moment here, kids.
It is indeed.
We figured we had at least until morning, so we decided to get some sleep, or at least some of us did. Perry, are you awake? I wondered if we could talk for a while. Well, sure. Come on in. I could use some conversation myself. Be sitting here thinking about doom and divorce. I'm sorry being cooped up here. It must be a strain for you and Alice. Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. We both got good reasons to be at loggerheads, but, well, sitting here with death waiting outside makes me see things from a different perspective somehow. And Superman's holding the statue the Legion gave him and says, me too. You? Yes, me, Perry. I'm scared. I think I'm going to die, and there's so much of my life I have to get straight, like me and Lois, like me and Lana. You see, I've messed up both their lives, haven't I? They've wasted their love on me while I couldn't let myself love either of them the way they deserved. I wish I'd explained. I wish I hadn't been such a coward. Wow.
Yeah, Archie Andrews.
Why is it that the noblest people are the ones most troubled by conscience? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But Superman and Perry weren't the only ones who couldn't sleep that night. Lana, what are you doing up here? And it's Jimmy. Well, that flask in your hand's what I think it is. I'm doing the same thing as you. I'm sick of sitting around. I want to help him. That's the Elastic Lad serum, isn't it? And yes, I knew he kept a sample in his trophy room annex, so I came to find it. All these years they've called me Superman's friend. I figure here's where I start paying for the privilege. How about you? And of course, here's where we get, you know, Jimmy Olsen being ex-Legionnaire reservist.
Yep.
Elastic Lad, and we see his costume over there, and Lana says, I had the same idea. I remember years ago there were these times we gained superpowers temporarily. I remember there was this lake that Lois and I bathed in, and it's magic, in quotation marks, lake water, probable unidentified radiation source. Hey, look, here's a case of souvenir costumes. Then we're in luck. Turn your back red while I take a quick dip.
Damn.
Oh, I remember the feeling now. My skin tingling as it gets harder. My senses expanding. X-ray vision. Microscopic vision. Super hearing. And then they're listening. You see, back when I was Superboy, Lana was the only girl I loved. She still represents Smallville to me, that part of my life. And because of that, I could never cast her aside. But since I've grown and become a man, there's only ever been one woman for me. Lois. Beautiful Lois. I love her, Perry. Dear God, I love her so much.
And notice Perry's hair.
Yeah.
Looks much like Jordan Elliott's hair beginning. And he has more of a sort of a Dean Martin look to him right now.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, like Perry's a little drunk.
I need an eyeball. Yeah. I don't know what's going on. But I can't tell her without hurting Lana. I'd never hurt Lana. So I just walk around with this secret, this weight in my heart, and I'll carry it with me to my grave. And, of course, Lana's listening. And neither of them will know. And Jimmy's in his cosplay outfit. There, are you ready yet, Lana? Is anything wrong? Wrong? No, no. Why should anything be wrong? I'm ready now. Let's get out there, wreck that fourth screen, and get him out of this mess. We're only second stringers, Jimmy, but we'll show him. Nobody loved him better than us. Nobody. And Lana flies off. Having assumed that the Kryptonite Man would keep Superman at a distance, what happened next took Brainiac by surprise. Oh, he's still attacking us. Oh, you'll what, you poisonous little crud, as Lana Lang attacks the Kryptonite Man. What are you going to do to someone who doesn't give a damn about Kryptonite? Brainiac, help me. Nobody's going to help you. Nobody's going to help any of you. Take out the generator, Jimmy, while I deal with their leader. And Lana KOs the Kryptonite Man. Mm-hmm. Foolish woman, my victory is predetermined. You serve only to hasten your own doom. Luthor, why are you talking like that? And what's on your head? What's... and Luthor tries to, you know, come out of it. Lana, bruh, Brainiac, he's got me. Kill me, Lana, please. Kill me. Luthor, be silent, I command you. Lex, Lana, do it now. Please do it now. And she gives him a karate chop that Wonder Woman would be proud of. Breaks that neck.
Yeah.
Crack. She's killed the Luthor Brainiac thing. How can we stop her? I'm scanning her mind. She received her power.
The Luthor Brainiac thing.
The Luthor Brainiac thing. I'm scanning her mind. She received her power from bathing in some kind of radioactive pool. And Cosmic King says, then it's easy. I just use my transmutation abilities to turn the radioactive traces in her tissue to normal body salts.
Which no longer come from his eyes, you'll know.
True, true. Mm-hmm. It's in his hand. And suddenly there's nothing holding her up. Oh, taking a fall, my dear? Here, let me give you a helping hand. And that's Lightning Lord. And she says, oh, no. And Lightning Lord takes Lana out.
Yeah.
Lana, as Jimmy says.
Yeah, burns her to a crisp.
Very, very Archer style.
Yeah.
You murdering scum, you killed her. Well, you're too late. Your four screen's wrecked. You're finished. And Jimmy Olsen takes one to the back. Ah, never. He's dead. But who? Who do you suppose, as the Luthor Brainiac thing stands again? I am Brainiac, reducer of Kandor and his greatest foe. My victory is preordained. Do you think I would let the death of this body stand in its way? And they say, oh, merciful creator. Luthor's nerves, his muscles are intact. I can manipulate them, at least for long enough to ensure Superman's destruction. Brainiac, something's wrong. If Olsen wrecked the generator, why hasn't the force screen collapsed? Analysis, you are correct. Earth's champions remain outside. Some unknown force maintains the shield. Perhaps it is destiny. In any eventuality, we must make use of it. While this fluke situation endures, prepare for a nuclear strike. Our final assault begins. The explosion, unbelievably, didn't bring down the whole fortress. It just punched an ugly, gaping hole in one side. But that was enough. We'd been breached. The sleeping quarters were shielded by meters of solid rock, but the shockwave was like the worst earthquake you could imagine. And Perry's running to save Alice from rocks coming down, and he manages to save her before she gets crunched. And she's like, oh, Perry, you, I... Alice, it doesn't matter. They're destroying the fortress, and I don't think we've got long left. I just wanted to tell you that I'm sorry and that I'll always love you. Perry, would you take me to my room, perhaps? Perhaps we'll have time to make up for being so stupid. Time to secure the fortress, to plan our defense. Time was one thing we needed. Time was one thing we didn't have. And the Kryptonite Man comes through the hole. Where is he? Come out, Kryptonian. Your rat hole's been breached. You can't escape me now. And here comes Krypto being the good guard dog. I'm almost glad that I didn't manage to kill you when we were young. It makes this moment all the sweeter. Are you listening, Kryptonian? Can you hear your death bearing down on you? And Krypto's just charging. Well, I'm waiting for an answer, huh? What? And Krypto basically rips through the wall, growling and snarling all the way. No, no. And the Kryptonite Man puts his arms up. Ah, stop it. Get off. I'm killing you, you stupid animal. Don't you understand? I'm killing. Yeah. And Krypto basically bites into the Kryptonite Man's neck, causing him to bleed out, and then yells a final "Arr!" and dies.
Krypto.
Pete Ross, Lana, Jimmy. Now Krypto is gone as well. I was with Superman when he heard his pet's death howl, but we couldn't do anything. We had our own problems, and we see a we have some Easter eggs here of a picture of Flamebird and Nightwing, the Candor, basically manufactured identities that Superman and Jimmy Olsen took on and then would later become Candorians.
Yeah, and in this case, you can tell by the spit curl on Nightwing, that it is Nightwing and Flamebird indeed, as like Jimmy and Superman, as the Batman and Robin of Candor.
Yep. And Titano. Yep, Titano. Superman still carrying the statue with him the Legion gave him. And there's a little tribute to Lori Lamaris right there that's been broken. And Lois says, Superman, what's happening? Where are Lana and the others? And Superman says, I don't know. Perry and Alice aren't hurt, but I can't see Lana or Jimmy anywhere. Maybe they fled. Maybe he's just trying to cover it up for Lois. But the LSV shows up, says, or maybe they're dead. And Lois is like, want to buy yourself some time, Kryptonian? Why not throw me the woman so I can fry her the way I fried your other girlfriend? Lana? You hurt Lana? And he goes full on Man of Steel. Ah, he burned me. He burned me. What were you expecting, Mecht? Seriously?
Yeah.
Saturn woman says, this is Saturn woman, not Saturn queen. I should clarify. His mind, he isn't bluffing. He's prepared to kill. Maybe this wasn't such a good idea. From our legends, I'd expected a quick victory, but this is dangerous, Cosmic King says. Let's get out of here. We know that Brainiac will win. There's no sense in getting hurt in the process. By the time we'd followed them outside, the bubble was already vanishing back to the 30th century. So the LSV cuts out, and there was only one of them left to face. And so Superman and Lois come out there looking at the Brainiac Luthor thing. Or maybe two, she says. Analysis, stiffening of limbs, difficulty in movement, assessment, onset of rigor mortis in host body imminent. Oh my God, look at it. But the villains from the future, they said you would meet your greatest foe in battle and be no more. Me, Brainiac, your greatest foe. I am predestined to destroy you. Lois, get back. He's falling. No, get up. Get up, Luthor. I will not be betrayed by your human weakness. Where is my Kryptonian man? Kryptonite man. Why is my force screen still standing? I don't know. I don't care. I'm coming for you, Kryptonian. My victory is inevitable. And so the faceplate crawls off of Luthor and starts walking on tentacles towards Superman. And Superman says, it's okay, Lois. I don't think he's in any condition to harm us. The disintegrating collection of plates and circuits crawled a couple of inches, propelled by sheer malice, then stopped moving. Brainiac was dead. It was all over. Except that it couldn't be. Lois, I don't like this. There's too many loose ends. Why should all my enemies attack at once? Why is Brainiac's force screen still keeping our friends out? And then there's this statuette the Legion visited last night and gave it to me, almost as if they were giving me my own headstone as a gift. The whole 30th century seems certain I'm finished. He lapsed into silence while I studied the statuette, a golden figure of Superman holding something familiar. Everything was still. The keening Arctic wind was being kept out by the force screen. He stood like that for 4 or 5 minutes, silent and frowning, figuring something out. When he spoke ever so softly, it still made me jump. And he says, of course. Bizarro, the prankster, the Toyman, Metallo, Brainiac, the Kryptonite Man, the Legion of Supervillains. There's only one name missing, isn't there? I know you're there, Mixleplick. Come on out and show yourself. And whoomp. Ew. And when the smoke finally cleared, he was just sitting there in the air. He looked different somehow. He didn't look funny anymore.
He looks actually a bit like the old Mego figure looked.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
So you finally guessed. Greetings, Superman. Greetings from the fifth dimension. You were guiding all this from behind the scenes, all this killing and destruction. Mixleplick in Rayo's name, why? Oh, don't be naive, Superman. I'm an immortal, like everyone in the fifth dimension. The big problem with being immortal is filling your time. For example, I spent the first 2,000 years of my existence doing absolutely nothing. I didn't move. I didn't even breathe. Eventually, simple inertia became tiresome. So I spent the next 2,000 years being saintly and benign, doing only good deeds. When that novelty began to fade, I decided to try being mischievous. Now, 2,000 years later, I'm bored again. I need a change, starting with your death. I shall spend the next 2 millennia being evil. After that, who knows? Perhaps I'll try being guilty for a while. Did you honestly believe a fifth-dimensional sorcerer would resemble a funny little man in a derby hat? Would you like to see how I really look? And he begins to transform. And Superman grabs Lois and heads back inside. I can't describe what Mixleplick became. It had height, length, breadth, and a couple of other things. As we entered the fortress, I glanced back. It was following us. Looking at it made my head hurt. Why struggle? You know there's no escape. Today you meet your greatest foe and shall be no more. Why, the whole 30th century knows it. He shouldn't have mentioned the 30th century. That was his mistake. It reminded, I look at the statue in my hands. Lois, he's magical. I can't beat him. Run. I'll hold him off as long as I can. No, wait. The statuette. Why did they give it to you? As a tribute, although they must have known how much it would disturb me. Exactly. So maybe they gave you it for another reason. Some kind of hint, maybe? Take another look at it, Superman. Look at what it's holding. He looked at the golden figurine, at the golden device in its hands. His eyes narrowed ever so slightly, and he knew. He knew what had to be done. This way, if we can only get to the chamber in time. The chamber, when we reached it, was as eerie and unpleasant as I remembered. From a screen at one end, pale men with murderous eyes mouthed obscenities at us. Time was running out, and we see Zod and his two lieutenants there. And then suddenly it was gone. Ah, there you are. Time to die, I think. That's right, Mixleplick. Time to die. And he turned the Phantom Zone's projector, single Cyclops eye staring from between his hands. Finger moving towards his black button, Mixleplick had no means of escape except one. Kryptozem! With the utterance of his reverse name, the creature's magic returned to the fifth dimension, while at the same time, the rays from the Phantom Raid dimension, the Phantom Zone projector, sent him to the Phantom Zone and tore him apart.
Mm-hmm.
Yarr! The terrible scream is he torn in half between dimensions. He panicked when he saw the ray and made a fatal error, just as I knew he would. I killed him, Lois. I intended to kill him. I just couldn't risk letting anything that powerful and malignant survive, so I made up my mind and I did it. I broke my oath. I killed him. But you had to. You haven't done anything wrong. Yes, I have. Nobody has the right to kill. Not Mixleplick, not you, not Superman. Especially not Superman. He turned and walked away in complete silence. I ran after him calling his name and he didn't reply. And by the time I realized where he was heading, it was too late. Gold kryptonite, sample storage chamber, keep out. As he walked into the blinding golden light, he turned and looked back over his shoulder and smiled at me. I never saw Superman again. With Mixleplick's destruction, the force screen his magic had been maintaining vanished. And that explains it, doesn't it? And the heroes outside were free to enter. You probably read about what they found. As Wonder Woman enters, Bartok is holding Lana Lang's body. Hawkman and Batman.
Because, of course, they had a thing.
They had a thing. Hawkman and Batman are looking at Jimmy Olsen. Captain Marvel is looking at Brainiac's ship. The wreckage in and around the fortress seemed to be strewn with bodies, most of his bitter enemies, and those of his most loyal friends. I remember the Batman describing it as like walking amongst the fragments of a legend. Death and destruction were everywhere, and you see Robin where Kryptonite Man and Crypto are with Batman looking on.
With his hands on Crypto, like, hey, Batman, didn't we have a dog too?
One time, maybe? Yeah. And
Ace that was Hound.
Yeah, that was almost everywhere. And we see Perry and Alice have been spared the carnage. We see Martian Manhunter there along with Captain Marvel and Superwoman. They found me outside the locked gold kryptonite chamber weeping. When Superwoman and Captain Marvel ripped the vault open, it was empty. He was gone. They discovered a hidden passageway leading out of the fortress, and it was finally concluded that he'd walked out powerless into the sub-zero waste to freeze. They never found his body. More coffee, Tim? Wow.
Yeah, he's just dumbfounded.
No, it's getting pretty late, and I think the interview's almost through. Tell me, Mrs. Elliott, what do you think of the rumors that Superman is still alive somewhere?
Very much like an Elvis rumor.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure a lot of people would like to believe that, but as far as I'm concerned, Superman died in the Arctic. I was there. Of course. I'm sorry if that last question was tactless. You just hear a lot of talk. I guess it's the same as with Jim Morrison or Bruce Lee. All those old rumors. Here's Johnny. What? Oh, Jonathan, you're awake. Have you got a kiss for mommy? Ah, bah. Well, listen, I ought to be going. I'll send you a copy of the interview to check once I've transcribed it. Well, if you get the time, I know what it's like. Give my love to the planet. I will. Thanks for everything, Mrs. Elliott. You too, Mr. Elliott. I'll be in touch. Bye, fella. Nice meeting you. And he walks away to his souped-up car, which looks nothing like the cars from 1997, as the baby looks at the reader and says, "Da." And back inside, well, he's gone. I guess the media won't be bothering us for another 10 years. Let's hope so. Down you go, Jonathan. You play for a while. And Jonathan's playing with Cole. For the fire. So how was work today? Great.
With a little spit curl.
Of course he's got a spit curl.
Yeah.
Great. Old Dan Hodge brought in some snapshots of his grandchildren, and we're working on this old 48 Buick at the moment, trying to get her working. She's beautiful. You really love it, don't you? Just going to work every day, taking out the garbage, changing Jonathan's diapers, all this normal stuff? Yep, can't beat it. Although maybe I could live without the diapers. You know, you were pretty hard on Superman earlier. Superman, he was overrated and too wrapped up in himself. He thought the world couldn't get along without him. What's for dinner? We see Jonathan has managed to figure out how to make a diamond.
Yes, squeeze the coal till it turned to a diamond. Puts it back in the little coal bin.
Yep. Pizza. After that, if Jonathan's quiet, I thought maybe bed with a bottle of wine. And after that, I figured we could just live happily ever after. Sound good to you? Lois, my love, what do you think? And we get the wink to the reader. The end.
I love that. Love that story.
Yeah, in the online edition, which I am just now reading for the first time, the last image is a black frame with a red S on it, which made me think of the death of Superman.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of little sort of knowing winks to that, for sure.
Totally.
yeah, so this would, of course, be the last issue of Action to feature this version of Superman. Of course, the next issue of Action, which continued the numbering, was where the team-up book started.
Yep.
And so it would be, that one was actually Superman and the New Teen Titans.
Mm-hmm. Because New Teen Titans was one of their best-selling books at the time.
Exactly. So, yeah, lots of neat things, you know, like bringing all that sort of Silver Age whimsiness back, but showing that dark edge and you know, that was really sort of a harbinger of things to come, is like, here's all these whimsical characters from the Silver Age. They're all going to get brought back and be nasty.
And be really, really nasty.
Yeah. And that all came to fruition.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, again, you know, this is Alan Moore in 1986. In Alan Moore in 1986, that's what he did. He showed you how the comics, you know, he would basically show you how the comics industry was changing. Mm-hmm. And I mean, there's a certain uncertainty principle involved in there, is, you know, how much of it did he push forward to that because of what he was doing? But I think he was seeing a picture in which that this stuff was already happening and he was just a part of this movement.
I would totally agree with you there. Because he didn't start that. I think.
Oh no.
You know, when you talk about who started the darkness in comics, I think you got to give that to Frank Miller. I mean, for at least doing it and doing it so that it stuck and became popular.
I'm sure
other people did it, but you know, his Daredevil run and then Dark Knight kind of just solidified him as the dark dude in my mind. And of course, there's been other people who have done, you know, dark. Alan Moore, Neil Gaiman, obviously, are up there. But when you're talking about taking the happy-go-lucky Silver Age and then twisting it to be the dark, grim, and gritty, that takes a little creativity. So,
yeah, and we would see, you know, we would certainly see bits of that play into at least early issues of Sandman.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of bits later on, like I can't remember how. Far, I mean, well, I say that Element Girl would have been in the first half, so it was a lot of that and sort of a lot of the taking these more whimsical ideas and doing sort of a harder edge thing. Again, you know, people talk a lot about the spiritual kinship between between Arnold Drake's Doom Patrol and Grant Morrison's. And it's basically he's doing the same kind of whimsy, but he's going darker with it.
Yeah.
And that was just, that's what the audience was looking for.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, and that's really what it comes down to. And it's one of those things when some stuff that translates well with. You know, some stuff that works with, you know, and there were a lot of examples where it was like, yeah, I mean, this was a goofy character before, but now, holy cow.
Yeah.
You know, and this is so much different. And so we got some sort of tastes of that here. And then there's other times when it wouldn't work, like when they tried to darken up, you know, all the times that they've tried to you know, just toughen up Captain Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and it never takes. But no one would buy him whimsically either. So that's the thing is
that's Captain Marvel's a tough character to get.
Yeah,
I think for a lot of people, he's one of those that people have definite ideas about who he should be, but everyone's divided about it. And
yeah, and I mean, I read an interesting thing where they talked about the Shazam: The New Beginning. Which was the 4-issue series. Roy Thomas wrote it with Tom Mandrake drawing it, and it's dark.
Mm-hmm.
It's really dark, and I can't remember what website did it, but they did like an in-depth look at all 4 issues, and they certainly didn't like the series as much as I did. I kind of liked some of the little changes that they made, but it was still, you know, I think actually darker than the. Than the current version is.
Mm-hmm.
But it, you know, it didn't take. So then they tried something that was a bit closer to the original in the Ordway version, where it was taken somewhat seriously, but there were some fantastical elements, and they were kind of having a bit more fun with it. But that didn't sell well.
Yeah.
So. Even having someone like Jeff Smith do a classic Shazam series didn't work.
True. You know,
where he did it all in the fun. And then, of course, there was the Johnny DC, but it was hurt by being part of that label. But when Art and Franco were writing it with Mike Norton drawing it, that's a fantastic series. If you ever get it's all over the Comixology. If you ever get a chance to read it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is tons of fun, and it's a good superhero series, and...
Well, it's I mean, when you talk about Captain Marvel, it's wish fulfillment.
Yeah.
What little kid doesn't want to have superpowers and be an adult immediately? You know,
with one magic word.
One magic word. Yeah. Boom. All my problems are solved. And then you find out, no, that's not the case.
Yeah, exactly.
I think we forget that back in the day, Captain Marvel was overshadowing Superman.
Oh, yes. Bit,
which is why. He got sued into non-existence for a couple hundred years.
Exactly.
And came back because DC now owned him, and it was okay now.
Mm.
And we're going to talk more, I guess, about Captain Marvel as we get into these more event books, because he starts becoming more of a big part of the DCU.
Absolutely. We're going to see him. That's why kind of why I brought him up, because he's that perfect example of the whimsical, where they tried to darken it and to mixed results. And I thought that the version that showed up in the early issues of Justice League was perhaps the closest.
Yeah,
to sort of straddling both lines. But again, they brought back Shazam in the 70s, and you know, they had the series that really resembled a lot of those early Wiz Comics issues, and that just wasn't what people were looking for.
Yeah, well, it's hard to go back home.
Yeah.
It's hard to recapture lightning.
It never moved well. And I mean, later on, they would do, we had the Don Newton stuff that showed up in World's Finest and then finished in the Action Comics Digest. That was fantastic. And that was when they brought Kid Eternity into the fray and said that he was Freddie Freeman's brother. And
because Kid Eternity started a different, you know, company. Altogether.
Well, he was Fawcett, wasn't he? Or was he
Quality? I think he was Charlton.
No.
No?
No. Kid Eternity was one of the... I think he was part of the...
Now I'm curious, because I could have sworn he started off with a different company, and they just tied them together because it made sense in the new continuity for Kid Eternity to be linked to the Shazam.
He was in Hit Comics, created by some guy named Otto Binder.
Maybe that's why they put him together.
No, he was Quality Comics.
Quality.
Yeah. Okay. So that was Quality Comics was like the Freedom Fighters.
Exactly. And we're back to that again.
Yeah. Yeah. See,
it's all intertwined.
Yeah. So when they brought them all together, basically at some point they Kid Eternity kind of fit well with Shazam because of course he uttered a word and stuff happened.
And stuff happened, exactly. Eternity! Exactly. You know, it just kind of made sense.
So he became Kit Freeman and was Freddie Freeman's long-lost brother. And that's some good stuff. If you can track those stories down, it's really great stuff. And the Don Newton art is incredible. So definitely worth finding. But yeah, so later he would become part of the Marvel family, essentially.
Yep.
But again, not enough to support its own book.
Nope.
And heck, not enough to even support as a backup in World's Finest, because World's Finest eventually went away and they had to finish up. They kind of just burned off the stories in the Adventure Comics Digest. So this is when they started reprinting the old Legion stories.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I miss the old World's Finest. It was fun to get, like, because back then, you know, when you're dealing with your allowance money.
Yeah.
Like how much money can I spend on comics? And you want the most stories you can get for your money. So it was it was all the team books, and then if I had money left over, it was World's Finest, because you had seven different characters getting stories in that book. Yeah,
and
that was just cool.
But it was still that was a dollar, man.
Was in it or not?
It was a dollar, cool. Man. Oof.
Yeah, it was a dollar.
Yeah,
a whole dollar, kids. Mm-mm-mm. Sigh. Good times.
Yeah, indeed.
Well, this was brought to you by Old Man Cast.
Yeah, and, seriously.
Take a drink.
Indeed. All right. Well, so that is Whatever Happened to the Man of Tomorrow. When we next do one of these, it will be Legends time.
Mm-hmm. Cosmic Boy time.
Oh, Cosmic Boy. The Suicide Squad.
Mm-hmm.
Someone should
Firestorm.
Suicide Squad podcast. Yeah, Firestorm. Yeah, because Ostrander wrote it, of course. So all of the Ostrander books got some good play, because he was by that point, he was writing Firestorm.
Yep.
And,
it's true.
Oh, yeah. Just lots of great stuff coming up in there, and that's going to be a lot of fun. And New Gods. New Gods
heavily into... along with Wonder Woman.
That's right, because she was just coming in then as
well. She was just showing up. Mm. So we have some good stuff coming for next time for Paul and Darren's adventures in Event Comics. Because if you haven't noticed, Matt's having Kramer Christmas.
That's right.
And Scotty is off on a mission in deep space.
Indeed.
Indeed.
Should have said that at the beginning.
Oh well,
that's okay. It's not like either of them is listening to be able to call us out on it.
Well, so. Now they got to listen all the way to the end,
right? Yeah, they'll be like, you didn't mention us, and we'll say, yeah, we did.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. Indeed. All right, let's wrap it up.
Indeed.
Comments, as always. Oh, speaking of comments.
Oh, we have some feedback.
Yes, we do. Actually, it's a response from Mark Sweeney, who was responding to our mentioning him on the last episode.
Mm-hmm.
And but I want to make sure that we hit this, because so he says, thanks for reading my feedback on the air. I've half accepted my own dare by starting this. And I will tell you what this is in a moment. He says, which will eventually be devoted to the larger DCU, but is starting out with an extensive look at good old Balloon Buster. So feel free to check it out. There will definitely be a checkerboard cover sighting within the first few posts. And so what he started is a blog on some of these lesser known characters. And it's imthegun.blogspot.ca.
Oh, cool.
And so he starts off with the Balloon Buster and you know, looking at a whole bunch of different aspects of it. And so I'm really looking forward to reading this. So so check that out. It's I'm the Gun, no apostrophe, all one thingy. So imthegun.blogspot.ca, and check it out. And and I think you will, if you enjoy a lot of the sort of obscure characters, you will be very happy with this.
Mm-hmm.
And so definitely check it out. So yes, as I say,
check it out. Check it out, people.
Check it out. Comments, as always, are welcome at legionofsubstitutepodcasters@gmail.com. You can join in the conversation on our Facebook page, which can be found at facebook.legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com. We are on the Twitter. We are LOSP Podcast. And in addition to all these things, you can head over to our website, legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com, and you can leave a comment on this or any episode. And with that, we make our way back into the time bubble and head back to the 21st century to give a trophy to Superman, you know, just to give him an idea of what he needs to do. They were kind of changing the past, weren't they? Right? Because that's how he knew what to do.
Yeah, kind of.
They made him kill. Anyway, so back to the 21st century with us, and we will see you all next week.
Phantom Zone, baby.